Keith, thanks for joining us here at the Last Post magazine. It's a great privilege and pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
What have you been up to lately?
Well, just most recently, I've been in Sri Lanka, where I was born.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the last couple of weeks, and I did a solo concert there and a television special.
Mm-hmm.
Just got back last night, actually. So.
Wonderful.
That's been the recent past, and tomorrow I'm heading off to South Australia to do 9 solo concerts there, so that'll be fun.
So that's actually, you're keeping very busy, and I guess that's the travelling minstrel part of you. You're out and about and doing some stuff. How was Sri Lanka?
Oh, Sri Lanka was wonderful. We had two and a half weeks there, and based ourselves in Colombo. And that meant that we really got to know the place all over again, which is a wonderful experience.
Is it a beautiful country?
Certainly a beautiful country. There are some downsides, but generally speaking, it's a beautiful country, and the people are generally beautiful as well.
Yeah, and so do you plan to go back there regularly, or is this with something?
Well, everything's a bit haphazard. In fact, Greg, including my touring, you know, it sounds like I'm very busy, but then I'll be. I'll have a nice break after I finish the South Australian tour. And so, as far as Sri Lanka is concerned, I'd like to make it an annual trip there, and we're working towards that. But there's nothing set in stone for next year at this stage.
Okay, that's fine. And the South Australian tour, what does that encompass?
Well, I've got nine shows there, and I'm going as far west as Ceduna,
right.
Visiting a lot of places that I've not played in before, and finishing up on the Murray River on a riverboat. So in between there'll be some hotels and a wonderful courthouse in Auburn, which I've played already, and most of them are places that I've not played before, actually, so I'm breaking some new ground here.
Yeah, that's good to keep doing that sort of stuff, too. And as far as the houseboat gig on the Murray goes, if you need someone to carry your suitcase, mate, give us a yell. That sounds absolutely fantastic.
Well, yes, it's only for the one night, but as it turns out, it's a handy place for us to stay in when we're heading over there tomorrow. Mm. So tomorrow night we'll actually be staying on the houseboat, on the riverboat. And then starting the tour after that. So, but then that's also the last gig. So we've got two cracks at that one.
Isn't that magnificent? Now, of course, one thing I guess, Keith, you came to being publicly, I guess, through the Seekers. I have a lady friend who tells me that she saw you in Bournemouth, UK, in '65.
Yes.
And what a great show it was from her memory, of course. So how did, we know the Seekers very well, but of course, for the younger people and those that perhaps don't, how did you get together? You were going to uni together or something, weren't you?
Well, it was a whole confluence of different things. Apple Guy and I had two separate groups. This was, I started my group singing while I was still at school, at Melbourne High School.
Mm-hmm.
Athol was a year ahead of me at Melbourne High School, and Bruce was a year behind me at Melbourne High School.
Okay.
And not that we had any contact with each other at that stage. It was only after I left school and my group disbanded and Athol's group disbanded that he and I got together and formed a new group. So from that time onwards, he and I have been linked in various acts. Most of the crowning act, I suppose, was the formation of the Seekers with Bruce Woodley in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
But we were four blokes at that stage. There was another singer from one of our previous groups, Ken Ray,
mm-hmm.
and he decided. This was in the beginning of 1962,
mm-hmm.
and he decided to. Leave the group to get married, and when we went to replace him, we realised that we probably could do quite well to get a female singer rather than a male singer, because Ken has a very high voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when Judith Durham stepped into the picture, and in December 1962 was when Judith first sang with Athol, Bruce, and me.
We called the Seekers then?
Yeah, we were called the Seekers before Judith joined us. Mm-hmm. So that was that's something that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, of course, the main success that we had was when we went to England with Judith in 1964. Mm. And then that led to us doing a summer season in Bournemouth, where your friend would have seen us.
Incredible, and at a very interesting time in the Seekers' history too. Is it true that you were playing in cafes and stuff around South Yarra, or was that?
Yes, the first gig that we had there was at the Treble Clef Coffee Lounge in South Yarra,
mm-hmm.
and also Rob's Drive-In at Albert Park.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
What was the other one? Oh, well, Embers Nightclub also, we did a couple of gigs there before that burnt down.
So you've had musical inclinations, self-taught, I think, from an early age. What was there about that encouraged you to pursue that?
Well, I guess the main thing was the first group that I formed, it was a trio, and neither of the other members played an instrument, and I decided that I would learn the guitar because it would help us have a backing when we were doing our gigs. You know, mm-hmm. we'd turn up at these clubs and the band wouldn't necessarily know our music. Yeah. So it gave us a bit of a safety net for us to have our own accompaniment, and that was why I started initially anyway, just dabbling in the guitar, and then I took up the banjo and mandolin after that, and it sort of went on from there, really.
Yeah, were you playing those instruments in Sri Lanka, or did that wait until you came to Australia?
It waited until I came to Australia, because it wasn't until I was in school. See, I came to Australia when I was coming up 7 years of age.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was only in high school that I developed all those harmony groups and started playing guitar.
Do you remember the feeling you had back then, Keith, about wanting to introduce yourself into the world of music? Did it give you a certain... Well, how did that feel?
Oh, it was a great feeling because it gave me a huge amount of satisfaction. And my friends in the group, we were all great buddies, and we just enjoyed the fun of singing along and doing the odd television gig and gigs around clubs and things like that. It was very small-time stuff in Melbourne in those. I'm talking about 1957, 58.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you, at any stage, what gave you the confidence to go across to England with Judith?
That was another confluence of events. We were working, working in the coffee lounge activities there. And then because Athol guy was in an advertising agency, they had an account which was the Sipmar shipping line account.
Right.
And they asked us, so the Sipmar people asked us to do a few gigs on their ships when they were in port in Melbourne and Sydney. And through that connection, they asked us to play on some of their South Pacific cruises and also offered us the chance to go to England on one of their trips and then come back after 10 weeks on one of their ships. So that gave us the entree to the UK scene, and of course everything was happening in England at that time, in 1964 I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, as far as confidence was concerned, yeah, we were having a great deal of fun as well. And so to go there to England for 10 weeks and then come back was a great lurk for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only after we got to England that things started moving for us so rapidly that we had to cancel our trip back, and then we ended up staying there for 4 years.
Yeah, it was quite an incredible time, Keith. And it may seem, I mean, going to England, what were your preconceptions, if any? Did you realise what was happening?
Well, we certainly knew what was happening. The Beatles had broken big, and mm-hmm. And the Rolling Stones and lots of other acts that we were aware of. And we had never met those acts, of course. Mm-hmm. And it was only after we got to England that everything opened up in all its glory.
Mm.
So as far as preconceptions, I guess we just knew that there was Marble Arch and Hyde Park Corner and Australia House and the Houses of Parliament and all the rest of it, and the Thames.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's I remember I was going to Caulfield Primary at the time, and there was an English guy in our class, and everyone became infatuated with this English guy because everyone was infatuated with the Beatles and the Stones.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, indeed. I know that, yes, you continued to gain great success in England, but how did it feel? Was it like a roller coaster ride for you, or was it just an ongoing thing of things happening each day? There must have been something happening each day just about for you.
Well, yes, just about. It certainly was a roller coaster, and when you think of that our initial career was condensed into 4 years, it all becomes even more bizarre, actually, in its own little way.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that we had a wonderful agency working for us, and we also, the agent within that agency then became our manager, and, mm-hmm. and so meeting Tom Springfield, of course, and having him write those songs for us was a real bonus. And then all sorts of other things happened. We ended up doing lots of live concerts, toured America, and of course came back to Australia many times.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of a roller coaster, I can tell you.
Indeed, and Keith, you being such a great guitarist and also a songwriter and arranger, the Seekers gave you great room to move, I guess.
Oh, very much so. The range of voices was really, really very helpful in terms of getting the sound that we ended up with, because Judith's voice on top, my voice was next harmonically, Bruce's below me, and Athol's was the bass, and he also happened to play the bass, so that was quite convenient. But that range of voices was really very helpful as far as the vocal harmonies were concerned.
Did you have any inclination or idea of the fame that you were gaining back here in Australia? I know my auntie and uncle, who lived in Ormond, were madly in love with the Seekers, and I think that may have been not only on the radio, but we would always hear that your music when we went around to visit them. Did you have any idea of what actually was happening back here?
We were getting a feeling for it, yes, because we had some very good friends in the radio medium over here, and so we were getting reports back, and also our records were climbing the charts here too, so that was an indication.
Mm.
We toured here exactly a year after we arrived in England. We came back to Australia, and we were the support act for the Dave Clark Five.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so that was an indication for us too, all those concerts that we did, that we had achieved some popularity back in our home country.
And Keith went on to become bigger and better than the Dave Clark Five. That's an amazing thing.
Yes, it was certainly a great bonus for us to then go on and headline our own tours as well after that.
When you came back to Australia, what was the feeling? I don't think it's ever been equaled. The crowd at My Music Bowl, 100,000 or something?
Well, yes, that was a phenomenal crowd, 200,000 people, the police estimated. And
a mini Woodstock all crowd, incredible.
it was an enormous thrill for us all, actually, to walk out on that stage. And it was, of course, a daylight concert, of course, daytime.
Mm.
And to walk out on that stage and see that great sea of faces around us. The landscape of the Meyer Music Bowl in those days was much gentler. And so you could see a long way further back. Nowadays, the whole thing is arranged much more like an auditorium.
That's
But in those days it was gentler, and so the people spilled out all over the place.
Incredible.
Yeah, and we've got this incredible helicopter shot of a crowd there, and to see the way they were all gathered. Some people, of course, couldn't even see the stage. They were just listening to us.
Absolutely beautiful music. Does it take you long to come down from something like that? You must have been on a particular high that day, and I guess it must have taken some time for that to actually sink in to you.
Well, it's certainly one of the highlights that we always mention. If people ask us, what are the highlights of your career? Mm. That's one of the ones that springs to mind immediately. And yes, it was certainly a highlight. But then we were in the middle of doing a documentary,
mm-hmm.
and it was called The Seekers Down Under, and that's available. It's just been released as a 3-DVD set.
And, oh, great. Mm-hmm.
And it topped the charts, the DVD charts, and it's still maybe pretty close to the top there now, actually. It was released earlier this year.
Wow.
As a special 3-DVD set.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we were in the middle of videoing that for the Channel 7 network, and so we were quite busy, apart from doing that one concert at the Maya Music Bowl. We were quite busy with other activities going around Australia filming different segments for that particular TV documentary.
Yeah, that must have been an amazing thing. Do you yourself get back to England now?
Oh, yes. I was there in June this year. And my son and his family live in Croydon, just south of London, so I get to see them from time to time. And I'm planning to go back there again next year, around the middle of the year.
And do you play when you're over there?
Yes, this is the idea is to do concerts, and I didn't on this previous occasion because it was just a holiday trip for me. But making plans to do some gigs next year when I go over.
Oh, that's good, and I know that the people in the UK will be greatly appreciative to see you again.
Well, we have some wonderful loyal fans over there, so yes, it'll be great. And on previous occasions, I have done concerts there, so it's been a great market for me as well as the rest of the group, of course.
Yeah, with yourself, I know that you tend to do a lot of good things for charities, etc. What led you in that direction?
Oh gosh, well, I suppose. Because I like doing those sorts of things. I got involved with the Variety Children's Charity while I was still living in England, because I stayed on in England for another 10 years after the group broke up.
That's right, yes.
So I got involved in the Variety organisation, the Children's Charity, while I was still living there. And when I came back in 1978 to Australia, I got involved in the Variety over here in New South Wales particularly. And that led from one thing to another, and then the Seekers as a group, our favoured charity is the Motor Neuron Disease Association. Judith's husband died of MND, and so that's been our particular favourite. And then added to that, I've become involved with the Musicians Industry Charity Support Act. And that's been my my main consideration over the last few years, actually.
Good on you. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you stayed in England and then you helped the formation of the New Seekers.
That's right, yeah, in 1969, a year after the original group broke up, my business partner David Joseph and I launched the New Seekers in August 1969.
And they went on to success also, but it must have been a good way of you keeping your toe in the water.
Oh, very much so. Yes, their success was huge. They had some great hits.
Yeah, and with you, back to your upbringing briefly too in Sri Lanka, what sort of memories do you have of that?
Oh, they're very hazy actually, and I have to rely on on anecdotes to complete some of the pictures. But it was great to go back there, and while I was there this last week, I attended the first school that I ever attended there. And walked around the hallowed halls and because I was only a little tacker at that stage. That brought back a few memories. But I guess
it's all a bit hazy in that regard. Were young.
There was a bit of difficulty in those days. The country was just becoming independent, and it meant that there was quite a bit of tension within the country. Not that I was aware of that, but certainly my parents were.
No, it went on to be quite bloody there for a while too, so you probably got out at the right time. What sort of feeling does it give you, Keith, when you're performing for people and knowing that you're appreciated and that there are not only happy memories of your performances but also the fact that in contemporary views a lot of people still see you as a significant part of the music industry?
Oh, well, I certainly love performing, and of course, live concerts are a great way of getting immediate reaction. Luckily, the reaction has been positive so far.
And what about new recordings? I know that you've released some solo albums. Anything new coming up?
Well, I'm working on it and trying to find the time to do so. I'm hoping that when I get back from the South Australian gigs, which will be at the end of October, I'll have a bit of a clear run through November and December to get down to finishing off a lot of tracks. I've got quite a few songs at a demo stage, and now I've got to get them to a finished stage.
Yeah, and what sort of things do you write about these days, Keith?
Well, it's a variety of things. I tend to write positive message songs, mm-hmm. and
Emerald City was an example.
Whatever happens to cross my mind, or whatever the muse brings me.
Mm-hmm. Now, well said. I know that you do have. I think also, apart from your giving to charities, because of that, you do have an eye out for social things that may be of interest to people also, which is a great thing to have.
Well, yeah, I tend to go out on a bit of a limb sometimes with my opinions.
Listen, Keith, I don't know if you're aware, but I have seen those, and I believe that I agree with most of them. So that's not that you do that for people to agree with you, but I'm saying that I understand.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay. It's nice to have some agreements.
That's right. Because, of course, it's a very brave thing to put yourself out on the limb, and sometimes there will be disagreement, but not when it's on such clear-cut matters, and you do a wonderful job there.
Yeah. I'm very aware how easy it is to be trolled by people who use those platforms to vent some unusual thoughts.
Mm, no, that's right. And I think it's said if you go into something with a good intention, it will result in good things happening most times. So I think you're an example of that, Keith Potker. And thanks very much for being not only part of The Last Post, part of Australia's musical history and the history of this country itself, Keith. It's been absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, well, certainly something that gives us all a lot of pride. And we're still happy doing it, and we're still good friends, which is a great thing.
Yes, such a rarity, in the business. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It speaks highly of the four of you. Yeah. So thanks once again, Keith.
And, okay, my pleasure.